Well, the Quincy City elections are fast heating up now. They're coming up primary on September 14th, the final election on November the 2nd. And in the school committee, three of the six seats on the school committee are up for re-election. There are currently six candidates that could change going forward. And one of them is Liz Speakman, who is joining us today to tell us a little bit about herself and about her candidacy. Hi, Liz. Nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you too. I feel like I know you, Joe, from listening to your show in the car often. So it's so nice to meet virtually.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Hopefully we can do it in person soon. But in the meantime, this is a great way to get some information out to folks here in the city about yourself and about why you're running for school committee. So tell us the Liz Speakman story, if you could.
I'll give you the abridged version. So I'm Liz Speakman, and I am a mom to two kids, a second grader in the Quincy Public Schools and a three-year-old in a local preschool. I'm a clinical social worker. I'm also a social justice advocate, and I'm the co-chair of the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Subcommittee of the citywide PTO here in Quincy. And I've spent the last 15 years navigating large, complicated systems on behalf of folks who are most marginalized in order to come up with collaborative solutions. So I feel very excited to be a candidate for the Quincy School Committee.
What was it, Liz, that prompted you to run?
So, you know, like a lot of other families, our family really struggled during the pandemic. And we saw firsthand the impacts of the school committee and administration's policies, you know, really affected our day-to-day lives in many ways. And we were very lucky to be able to access the supports and resources that we need to help our kids be as okay as they could be. But I know that that's not the case for all of the families in our community. And so, you know, I'm really committed to making sure that families have access to the information they need in their own language, and the resources, that are necessary for their children to thrive. And, you know, Quincy has amazing resources in the city and the school department. And I think we just need to do a better job of making sure that everyone has access to them. And that's what I'm committed to doing on school committee.
How would you kind of, grade the school system in Quincy as to how they've been handling the pandemic?
So, you know, last spring was really tough for everyone when the lockdown happened. And, you know, we certainly as a family had a really tough time with, you know, not having access to the supports that we needed in the schools and in other places. And so last spring, we can sort of put that aside and know that everyone was doing the best that they could. But I think since the summertime, really, they implemented last summer these amazing in-person learning opportunities for students who most needed it, and gave a lot of professional development to the teachers to make sure they knew how to start up in September virtually as best they could. And then they put a lot of the, you know, regulations in place, even though the state had said it was okay to be 3-foot distance. The Quincy schools committed to the 6-foot, which I was very happy about as a parent. And my son was hybrid for the, you know, the beginning part of the year. And so I got to hear, you know, his learning during school time. And I started, you know, emailing his teacher saying, you know, you're a saint, you must be exhausted by the end of the day. You know, she just was working so hard, and the kids were, you know, so cute and hilarious and just distractible in a bazillion ways. And she just kept keeping them as engaged as she possibly could. And his in-person teacher keeping connected to what they were doing. And so for us, I feel very grateful for what they've done. And I know a lot of families that are full remote, that have chosen full remote, have been very happy with their experience around the virtual learning and knowing that the teachers are working incredibly hard to keep the kids well emotionally, as well as learning academically. So I would say they've done an excellent job. And I know, you know, even when we're doing great, we still have room for improvement. And so I think there's ways that we can take some of the things that we've learned through COVID and hold on to those and keep those as we move forward. And also, you know, improve access to the supports for families that maybe weren't able to access as much as they needed.
Yeah, do you worry that there might be a lag in learning, you know, due to the pandemic, especially maybe for the older kids?
Absolutely. I mean, I keep saying I don't think we'll really know the impact of this for years, you know, both academically as well as socially, emotionally. So many families are in really different places around their experience with COVID, how it's impacted them and their kids. And so I think both academically as well as emotionally and socially, we really need to pay attention to how we keep the kids as connected as they can be to their, you know, their abilities and their skills and their strengths, that even if they're not able to sort of articulate their learning as best they can, that they still are smart and they're still, you know, trying really hard, and that they're, you know, just them feeling like they're good enough. I think that if we can instill that in our kids, that's going to serve them much longer than even, you know, some of the math basics or, you know, I think literacy is really important, but I think a sense of worth actually carries us in many ways over time. I'm a social worker, and so that's, you know, where my frame of reference comes from.
Yeah, do you agree with the decision to negate the MCAS requirement this year?
Yes, I mean, I was thinking actually about when I was little and way before MCAS, obviously, but I remember feeling anxious about going to school, and that was before standardized testing. And I would, you know, have stomach aches and say, I don't want to go to school. And so I can only imagine, you know, what it's like for the kids who, you know, some kids will float by and they don't mind, you know, a test, but for some kids who already have this anxiety about just going out in the world, about worry about their health, about their family's health, to add on a standardized test pressure on top of that, I think is a little bit much for us to ask of our kids. And so I think parents knowing that they can opt out and make sure, you know, that if they choose to, you know, not have their child take the MCAS, of course, unless they need it, you know, in 10th grade, you know, to graduate. But for our younger kids, especially, I think that it's just not where our priorities need to be right now.
Sure. I know that a lot has been talked about regarding diversity, both in staff and in teachers. Do you think that is a challenge that Quincy has to face?
Absolutely. And it's not just Quincy. You know, when we look at the data across the state and many other communities, we know that the rates of students, you know, folks of color in the student population is much higher than the rates of diversity of, you know, race and ethnicity in the staff and the, and not just, you know, faculty, but administration as well. And so I think that it's something that the administration has committed, as well as the school committee has committed to working on. And so I'm very supportive of that. And I've been in contact with some of the teachers who are working on a proposal to create a pipeline for students who have completed their master's in education to be able to receive a stipend to do their student teaching within Quincy. So we can keep the Quincy kids who graduate from the schools, go on to get their master's, want to be teachers, incentivize them to stay within the Quincy school system by providing a stipend for their teacher, you know, teacher learning, you know, part of their education. And then hopefully they get that foot in the door to be able to stay and have, you know, that stable career within our system. So I think that's an excellent idea, and I'm very supportive of how we can operationalize that. I don't think anyone's really going to be against it, but it's really like, how do you actually make that happen? And so the teachers are really committed to that, and I'm very supportive of how we can make that happen.
What would you say, Liz, are some of the biggest challenges that the Quincy Public Schools face, you know, going forward?
I mean, there's so many things that I think we're all challenged by right now. And, you know, I think so many of us have been through so much in the past year that we're often putting one foot in front of the other and hard to sort of step back and think kind of creatively and optimistically about what our future can hold. And so that's what I would love to see the Quincy Public Schools do, is really kind of create a vision for where do we go from here. I think for some folks, it's tempting to say, let's just get back to normal. You know, come September, we're going to be back to normal. And I hope we resist that and say, let's move forward and let's think about what are all the things that we've learned through this experience that we can keep and that we can work on and move forward and not just go back to how things were, because how things were wasn't working for everybody. And we've heard a lot in the community listening sessions during the, when the city councilors were pushing for the social justice position, that there's a lot of families who really feel the discrimination in the community and the bias and the prejudice. And so how do we really take those stories and those experiences and guide, have them guide us into how we can create something new? And so I don't think it's a challenge. I think it's an opportunity. So that's sort of how I try to reframe things, that thing, you know, when it seems hard, and there's lots of times in life things seem hard. And so how do we see it as an opportunity to grow rather than a barrier to, you know, being able to just kind of go back to how things were. And so I think there's a lot of opportunities in Quincy in the school system to be able to really be more welcoming and make sure that everyone really feels like they belong. And there's a sense of community for everyone in our system, and that the kids all feel like the school is a place that they love and they grow in and they're nourished and they're supported and they're learning and they're excited about, you know, that's really what I want to see for as many kids as possible.
Can you talk a little bit about where you think some of the financial priorities should be within the school system? You know, where should the money be directed to most?
I mean, I know the mayor has been very generous with the school system and making sure that all the supports that are, you know, necessary are there. You know, one, absolutely keeping all of the, you know, enrichment programs and the ways that are, we're sort of seeing the whole child for the school system, I think is really important. I would love to see this idea that I've had of having family outreach workers. So they would be ideally parents who know the school system and also know their community, and ideally from various ethnic or linguistic cultures, and to be able to kind of be a bridge from the community to the school. And so when families, like we, I see on Facebook moms, you know, people are posting questions like, how long is lunch and when is pickup? And, you know, if my kid needs an accommodation, like who do I talk to? And questions that, you know, ideally they could sit and chat and have coffee with another parent and say, like, help me understand this system. You know, who do I talk to about this? And if I'm concerned about my kid in this way, they may be intimidated to call up the teacher or the principal, but they may talk to another parent, and that parent can say, oh, well, you know what, you can talk to the teacher. Let me tell you how this went for my kid. And, or I can go with you, you know, to talk to the principal, if that's something that would help you feel more comfortable, really creating that bridge, because we do such an amazing job in the school system, and not all families, you know, sort of feel like they can make that connection. And so I would love to see that be one of the things that the school district devotes some resources to. And the other thing that I'm very supportive of is, you may have seen Dove did a presentation for the school committee, and just did an amazing job really talking about the challenges for young people and healthy and unhealthy relationships and the rates of abuse and control that happen in relationships. And so I would love to see some support go to the prevention aspect of what Dove's doing and helping young people become mentors and, you know, supports to their peers around, you know, what happens if you're in an unhealthy relationship and how to get the support you need. That's been my work. I've been in domestic violence field for over 20 years. And so that's also where my heart is and where I'd love to see supports as well.
Yeah, I know you were honored by the Massachusetts Office for Victim Assistance recently. So congratulations on that. Yeah.
Thanks.
How would you kind of rate the public schools facilities, Liz, the buildings, you know, themselves, and would you support the plans for a new Squantum Elementary School?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I think we've done a great job of, you know, kind of taking a look at the buildings that were old and really needed some work, and being able to create new spaces for the kids to be able to learn as best they could. And I know Squantum is in desperate need of a new building. And so I'm definitely supportive of, you know, making sure that those families and those students have a beautiful new building where they can be excited to walk into every day. So I think we're doing a great job with facilities, with the schools.
Talk a little bit about the possible requirement that kids get vaccinated before they return to in-person learning. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I mean, I was in full support of the flu vaccine being mandated. And, you know, obviously we get the flu vaccine every year anyway. And I mean, the flu vaccine has been tested and tried for years and years and years. And so that felt right to me. And for us, our children will get vaccinated when they're eligible. But I do feel a little bit torn about that one. I think I need to understand more about, you know, what that would look like and what are the potential consequences. I would hate for students not to be able to access education. And I can understand parents' hesitancy about a new vaccine that maybe would have been approved a week before they're expected to get it. I think that that's a pretty reasonable concern for families to have, but there's so much data about the efficacy of the vaccine. And for us, it's like a, you know, cost benefit analysis that it's, you know, there may be a potential cost to the vaccine, but the benefit way outweighs that. And so my hope would be that's how other families see it. But I think I would need to better do some more research and understand that better before taking a stand.
Sure. How important do you think extracurricular activities are in schools, athletics, the arts, you know, those things like that?
I think they're incredibly important. You know, I think that it's, if we just see students as one-dimensional and that they're here to learn academics and, you know, make sure that they succeed academically and move on to, you know, whatever's next for them, I think we're really missing a big piece of, you know, how we can really hold these kids in a way that's going to help them thrive and, you know, succeed in life. And I think a big part of that is what they do outside of school and how they are, again, how they can really feel like they are of value and they are of worth. And not all students excel academically, but they may have other things they're really excited about that keep them connected to the school. And maybe it's athletics, maybe it's, you know, singing or, you know, other kind of arts things, whatever it is that keeps them engaged and really excited about being part of the community and part of the learning environment. That's amazing. And I don't think everyone has to go to college either. You know, I think that there's so many paths for us that can really create a life of meaning, that to not sort of keep our, you know, have a such a narrow view of what success means, that if we can really broaden that and see that success means so many different things, which means as a school, we need to offer, you know, all of those things to be able to help the students really sort of explore what's their thing and what's, you know, what's going to be exciting to them and keep them growing and thriving. So I think those, it's a huge important part of what we're doing in the school system.
Is this your kind of first run at elective office, Liz?
Yes.
What will be your campaign strategy, if you will? You know, how will you reach out to the community?
So I've been in this phase of listening and learning for a few months and connected with a bunch of different community groups and the PTOs. And then, you know, other elected officials and parents, lots of parents. We did a survey to, you know, better understand what are the concerns that parents have and what do they want to see school committee work on. It was, of course, a biased sample because it was people that I know and my friends know. But a big thing that came up was social emotional health of the kids, which really resonated with me too and our family. So I'm, you know, talking to anyone who will talk to me, basically. That's my strategy, reaching out. And then, you know, I talked to Philip from Corey, and he says, oh, you should talk to so-and-so and such. And I say, great, did you have their contact? And I reach out to them and talk to them. And so I'm really so excited to be able to, you know, hear from different folks and what's important to them and what they would like to see us work on. And it's been wonderful for me, and I'm really excited to be able to, you know, once we can get out more, talk to people in the community and, have more of those direct connections. And so that's really what I love. And again, as a social worker, like being with people, talking to people, hearing what's on their minds and in their hearts, you know, that's just part of who I am. And so that's my strategy, I guess, is just to do that and then take the guidance from what folks want to see and try to represent that as best I can, you know, as I move forward.
How do you think your professional life will help you on the Quincy School Committee?
So I've been in municipal government for over 6 years, and it's been incredibly informative for me around how government works and doesn't at times. And then before that, I worked at Mass General Hospital running a domestic violence program. And so, you know, I have this view of being able to see a big system that has multiple layers of power and influence and hierarchy and, innovation, as well as, barriers to kind of making things happen. And so I've been very lucky to be able to navigate those in a way that comes up with solutions. And so, and I also love working with people. I'm a very collaborative person. And so I've been able to sort of convene groups of people to say, okay, we have this issue. Folks in the community are identifying something as a problem. Let's come together. Let's hear from their voices and figure out what we can do to make it better, come up with a solution, and really get people to move and make those changes. And so I think that's a skill set and a set of experience that will be really helpful in school committees, since it is a committee. It's not one person, making all of the decisions, but really trying to think through together with your colleagues around what are the issues that families are bringing up? What are the issues that teachers are concerned about? What are we hearing from the community? And how do we think creatively with the administration and with the mayor around, how can we address these in a way that's fiscally responsible and also really meets the needs of the community? And I love doing that. And so I'm really excited to be able to, bring that skill set to the Quincy School Committee.
Okay. Anything else you'd like folks to know about you right now?
So we're definitely in the phase of listening and learning. If anyone is interested in sharing thoughts or feedback or questions that you have, we would love to hear those. We have a website, votespeakman.com, and it's in Chinese, Vietnamese, Portuguese, English, and we're working on Spanish right now. So we want to make it as accessible as possible. And there's a contact form on there. So if you want to reach out or get on our supporter list or just kind of keep updated on what we're doing, we would love to stay, connected. We're also working on an event coming up on June 8th that's going to be called Pandemic Parenting, Tips for Supporting Your Kids in the Transition to Summer. And that's going to, we're going to feature Megan from Puzzle Pieces, which is a local community-based therapeutic program. And so she's going to give us parents advice on how we can support our kids. And so that's on the website as well. We really just want to be a service to families. So please reach out, connect with me. I'd love to hear more from folks. And if you want to stay updated, just do the contact form on votespeakman.com.
Okay. Great to talk to you, Liz. Appreciate your time. And hopefully next time we can do it in person.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Be well.
Thank you.